Okay, take your Bibles. Let's read our scriptures for this morning at 9:30.
Your wireless.
Let's read again our scripture from last Sunday morning, which would be John, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And as it is our tradition and good habit, we'll stand together and read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And I will be teaching from 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 at least. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. And when you find it, we'll stand. And we'll read out loud together. It's always good to hear the Bible being read, especially from the same Bible. It'd be difficult if we had different translations to read from, and it's not like a beehive. It wouldn't make any sense. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1, let's read together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned,
we make him a liar,
and his word is not in us. Thank you, Father. Let's read your word. We pray that you help us to get a blessing from reading it and learning about some of those things that's there for us. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be in church today. We pray that you give us all a blessing in some way. And we pray for those still on the route to church. We thank you, Lord, for faithful people. Yes, you bless them and be with those who are still having health problems, sickness, and weakness in the flesh. We pray that you'd encourage them. We pray, Father, for Brother Bobby. We pray that he'll be able to come next Sunday and encourage him with his breathing trouble and heart trouble. And Lord, encourage his heart's fruit. Thank you that he is praying for us even right now. We ask you, Lord, to meet with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. Already we have seen that there is a reason for John writing, and there are some important words that he gives to us. And if you would look at the repetition of words, you get an idea of what God's trying to tell you. And so one evangelist named Ed Below, who is now in heaven, his idea of reading the Bible was to count what the Lord says and how he repeats himself, verily, verily, and repeating of names of places, things like that. And he says, that's how you learn the Bible. There's many ways to learn the Bible, and that is one way. Mm-hmm. And so, First John chapter 1, so far, he has talked about this word. That's an E there. So far, he says, we've seen, we've touched, we've handled, we have handled the word of life. So that is a first-hand experience. We talked about that before, so I'm not going to go over that ground. But that's the first thing he's talking about in this chapter. The second thing he's talking about is this. It's fellowship. So let me talk about that today. And the lesson is pretty simple. You can treat any chapter, any scripture in several ways. One is you can fly over and notice the important things of it. You can land and then take apart or park at the certain verses or words, even take all kinds of important time to pull out some of these things. So there's a time and place for everything. And so someone said a long time ago, there's the milk of the word, which the Bible talks about, Peter does, and then there's the meat and heavy chewing stuff. And one man says, milk is good for a lot of things. And so today's kind of milky. And so it's because I think I understand where you come from as a group of people, as Christians, and I think I try to be sensitive to teach things that we need to hear. So we can go through several layers of any scripture, of any passage, and we can get really, really, as somebody says, dive down deep. Well, whales dive down deep, porpoises dive down deep, fish dive down deep, and sometimes people dive down deep. And it just depends on the need. And so for the need for us, as far as I can sense, is that we need to look at 1 John for, first of all, what it says, and be true to the scripture, and also pass on to you what you need to have for this week. So that's how I'm going to go with this one. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, he says this, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." That's the experience. That's the first-hand encounter with the Son of God. They are speaking from experience, firsthand. He says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He also says in verse number 6, fellowship. Verse 7, fellowship. So the word fellowship comes after you have an experience with Jesus Christ. After you have met him. After you have experienced walking with him, talking with him, being saved. After you've been born again, that's the experience that everybody needs to have. The born again experience. Alright? So you have to have a relationship first before you can enter into this phase called fellowship. Now, fellowship is an interesting thing, because fellowship is based on relationship. So I want to get the order right. This comes after that. But sometimes people say, do you have a relationship with God? That's not a relationship, is it? The word that I want to have is a relationship. A relationship is the experience of meeting him, knowing him, and so on, all right? So you're going to have that first before you have that. Fellowship comes after. As an example, you might be married, and that's the relationship. You're legally married, and before God, you're married. But does being in that relationship make you have good fellowship? Not always. But you are in a relationship, we're married. That's my wife, that's my husband. Okay, that means you're married. The next question is, are you getting along? Well, that getting along part is the fellowship part. So, relationship has to be established before you can have a good fellowship. Sometimes it's, you know, people blur it. It's okay, I guess, but I just want to make that distinction clear. You have to have fellowship after a relationship. Now, people base fellowship on many different things. For example, if you like sports, what kind of people do you hang around? Athletes, people that like sports. All right. If you like something, say you like knitting, I'll tell you who's not going to be there. Not going to be there. If you like home decorating, or you like flowery pastel colors, let me put it like this. If you have an announcement, we're going to have a tea. We're going to have a tea. A T-E-A, a tea. I'm not going. I have no interest in going to a tea. First of all, they give you just a portion of a sandwich. 1/4 of a sandwich. Maybe different kinds of bread, but just a quarter. Then they give you the tea. I mean, it's like they're just teasing you at a tea. Now, who goes to a tea? Women who like to go to a tea and experience beer. And what's the conversation about? Feminine things, girly things, woman things. That's a tea. They go in hungry, they leave hungry. What do men like? What do men like? Men like to go to a barbecue, a cookout, an all-you-can-eat feast. That's what a man likes. So our fellowship is based on the common things that we have interest in, be sports. Now, sometimes your fellowship is based upon the things that you hate. Over at the prison, I made a statement, and you have to be careful what you say, because you know, you never know who's going to complain about things and then you get kicked out forever. And so I made a statement about basketball, about I can't stand LeBron James. And some people went, ooh, ooh. And there's a couple of black guys. I don't call them black brothers, just because they're black, it's not my brother, see, they're just black guys. And there's all different kinds of guys, but this black guy's one guy went, and this other guy went, and he jabbed his friend. And after his sister says, did you say you don't like LeBron James? And I did say, why I don't like LeBron James in my lesson. And I said, yeah, I think I said that. Yeah, and he said, give me five. This other guy says, you prejudiced. I said, no, I just look at the way he behaves, and the way he talks, and the way he criticizes our country. The country made him almost a billionaire, and he's criticizing our country and cutting it down, and every chance he gets, criticizing at the time Trump and all that. And I said, yeah, that's the reason why I said that. But you see, people hang around people because they have a relationship, they're friends, but then they have a more of a fellowship because of the common interest. Now, every major city just about seems to have a Chinatown. San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Southern has one. Some Philadelphia has a large Chinatown. I mean, it's huge, the one in Philadelphia. It's huge. And then you have Little Italy. Now, why are all these things popping up in major cities? It's because people that come from a certain place, they want to be around people that have the same relationship with each other, same ethnicity, and they want to have the same kind of food and the same kind of culture. They want to perpetuate that and pass on to their children. They have something in common, so they have this little unit there called Chinatown. And so it's all about fellowship. And so entertainment, sports, hobbies, photography, poetry. Well, that's a really exciting one, poetry. That's that fellowship over poetry. All I'm trying to explain to you is this, that we have a relationship with people, we have a relationship with others, but then we have a fellowship with them. I like sports, I like baseball, I like tennis, I like a lot of things. I tend to ask people two questions when I first meet them. If they're visiting church or someone in the street passing out trash, I have two questions to ask them. It's kind of like in fun, but I ask two questions. I say, pardon me for being blunt, but are you a Christian? Are you saved? And then they'll answer. And they said, the second question I have is, do you like racquetball? Do you play tennis? And it's a light thing. And so, and if the person, oh, I love tennis, I say, hey, you want to play sometime? You want to play sometime? And then I ask another question, are you good? Oh, yeah, I play in this tournament, I play this. I say, I don't want to play with you. You're too good for me. There's a ranking in tennis, like 4 points, 5 points, whatever. And I say, okay, I don't know what I am. I think I can return the ball once in a while, and I will say to that person, you're a what? You're a seven? Which is really, really like almost professional. You're a what? I say, well, you know, sorry I asked you. Bye, see you later. I don't care if you're saved or not good. Get out of here. And so, you know, it's a light thing, but we're trying to find something in common. So people who are who have a relationship with God need to work on that now. Work on that. Yes. What, Joseph? Oh, I'm sorry. Donut residue. Oh, man, how can you see it from there? Did anybody else notice? Kristen goes. This is forever posterity.
You gotta have one more.
Oh, brother. What was I saying before you interrupted me? Fellowship is what we're talking about. John mentions fellowship four times in these short few verses, and because it's important to him. He wants people to have fellowship with them, and then to have fellowship with God and his son. So the fellowship here that we're talking about is a spiritual fellowship, because it is with the apostles, Christians, with God the Father, and with his son. That's a spiritual fellowship. All the other things I mentioned before are just fellowship. Fellowship is just fellowship. You get along with people because of the common interest, but then it's a deeper kind of fellowship when it's a spiritual fellowship. Christians have fellowship with each other. It's a little bit better and different than just having fellowship with somebody over common beer. You know, some of these churches have beer fellowships now. Some of these churches, these men, they all have beers. They have two things, being the beards and beer. So they like to have beards, like to have beer. That's kind of a joke, but it seems to be like that. Well, their fellowship over something that they enjoy. The fellowship he's talking about here is not just fellowship over something like sports, entertainment, or different things that they have in common. It's about something spiritual with the Father, with the Son, and with them. Something spiritual fellowship. Spiritual fellowship is a good thing. And so John says, know the Lord, establish a relationship with him, the new birth, sonship, and then fellowship with other believers. Come to Acts chapter 2 for just a second. This is a common scripture that you should know. Acts chapter 2. This is about the church of Jerusalem, the group of people that come to Christ, and a lot of Jews got saved. And it was a remarkable day, to say the least. And many things to say about that. But you want to see the words of chapter 2 of Acts in verse number 41. 241. People associate by common interests, likes and dislikes. And then we want to note that there's a deeper kind of fellowship. It's a spiritual one. Acts 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, eat bread with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and so on. Now, this is something that was voluntary. It was not forced, mandatory, give up your product kind of thing like that. It was something voluntary. They just did it because to help other believers who were destitute because of their faith in Christ, and they were abandoned and they were left alone, and so they helped each other out simply. And so this was Christianity in action in the early days of the church. But they had fellowship. Their fellowship was based upon the apostles' doctrine, the doctrines of the teachings of the apostles, those who had intimate fellowship with Christ, and they would teach about what Christ did and said in certain situations, and they would ask questions, and they would base upon their fellowship upon the doctrine, the teachings of the apostles. And so they had fellowship over that. So it's a spiritual fellowship. It's based on truth. It's based on truth. Some could be kept fellowship with because they don't have the truth. Some people you don't want to fellowship with because they're not of the truth. Later on, John's talked about light and darkness and how we should not fellowship with those who are in darkness. Other verses we'll get to in just a minute. And so fellowship is spiritual. That's the thing to understand. Fellowship is good, but fellowship is better if it is spiritual. Okay? Sometimes Christian fellowship is much deeper than blood relationships. Sometimes you get along better with Christians than you do with your own siblings or your own parents sometimes. It's because of that spiritual bond you have in Christ. And that spiritual bond is so close and so tight and so strong. It's even stronger than super glue. You ever see those old commercials in, I don't know how, I haven't seen it for a while, but the guy puts super glue on a steel beam with a hard hat, and he hangs onto the hard hat like this, and he's so, the glue is so strong he won't fall off. He's holding onto his hard hat glued to a piece of a steel beam, and he's dangling. That's to prove how strong it is. Well, that bond is nothing compared to the bond that Christians have because of Jesus Christ. It's very unique. Sometimes it's almost funny where you run to someone and you just, in conversation, by the way, you're a Christian? Yeah. How did you know? Well, how do you know? It's kind of funny how that is. Your antenna comes up, the wrong one. It just comes up like that, and you just sense that this person's a Christian. And come to find out he is, because you asked her, or he asked you. And it's like all of a sudden you have a friendship there. Well, that's a spiritual fellowship. And you can't always go by that as a guide, but that sometimes happens. And you just feel good about meeting somebody who is a stranger, but that person's a Christian, you have a bond of fellowship there. Well, this fellowship in Acts chapter 2 is a very real one. Go back to John, 1 John. And I'm just simply saying that this is a spiritual fellowship. Now, there are some things about fellowship that you ought to avoid. I mentioned it in passing. Let's look at a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's something to avoid. Fellowship does not mean you fellowship with everyone in this world. There are people in this world you don't want to fellowship with. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's see. Drop down to verse number 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So there is a consideration, a boundary about fellowshipping. Now I want you to come over to Ephesians chapter 5. If you simply use a concordance and look up the word fellowship, you will come to the same verses. Anybody can do this. Ephesians chapter 5. And come to verse number 10. Actually, let's back up to verse number 6. Verse number 6 to begin. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now he does use the word fellowship there, but he does use the word don't be a partaker with them. Don't participate. Don't hang around. Don't be with people that do such things. Don't be among them. Verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Now before Ephesians, you used to do that, but now you got saved. Now you have a relationship with God. Now you're trying to fellowship with Him. You don't want to hang around people that do what you used to do. So you get away from them. Now there's a caution to that statement as well. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So we stop there for just a second. We don't fellowship. We don't have. How would you describe people having fellowship? Okay. Let's use a husband-wife relationship. When you see a husband-wife walking, holding hands, what do you think they have? Besides a relationship, they're having good fellowship because they're holding hands. If you see a man walking here and his wife walking 10 feet behind him, is that called good fellowship? It's called Chinese. It's called Asian. My father walked like this. My mother walked behind him. I never thought anything about that until later on in life. And I don't know what that indicated except the culture. But the visible expression of not holding hands, or let's say you have two men walking together, and then they're jawing at each other. Okay, now they're brothers or they're friends, but then they're not having fellowship. You know what the Bible says about that? How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? So when a husband and wife are not having agreement, they're married, they have a relationship, they're not in fellowship, you see signs of that going on. So he says over here, don't be having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't hold hands with darkness. Don't hold hands with people who used to be what you were like before you got saved. Now, a question should come into your mind at that point. What is that question that comes into your mind, or should?
I'm going to share the gospel with them if I'm not fellowshipping with them.
Okay, how do you be a witness if you're not in contact with them? Okay, that is a good question that comes to mind. What's another question along that line? How can you influence the lost if you're isolated from them? In history, people have gone to the extremes of isolation to keep away from evil people. You have people go into isolation, monks, nuns even, dedicate themselves to God. They have essentially isolated themselves from the world. Those have not given their lives over to being a nun or being a monk. And they have stepped away from everything else to focus on God. They believe that would be like, I want to have such intimacy with Christ, nothing else matters. That's not what he's talking about here. He's simply talking about in the everyday courses of life, you have to be cautious about different types of situations and people that would pull down your spiritual walk with Christ and influence you so that you become back into the world again, kind of thing. All right, so you have to have contact with people. You can't always work with Christian employers and employees. Yes, that'd be good, but sometimes maybe that's not possible. So you have a relationship with your fellow employees. They're not Christians, but you don't have to fellowship with them. Hey, wait, when do you have to work on Friday? I don't know, we're going to have a party at the bar. We're going to celebrate, and, just at the end of the week, Friday's time for us to get drinking and stuff. Now, you work in the same office. Does that mean you have to go with them and fellowship with them at the bar? No. And that's kind of like what he's talking about here. You have to get along with people, but you don't have to fellowship with them. Now, along that line, none of us ought to be nasty and ugly to people who are not Christians. Doesn't have to be. We all work for the same company here. I work with Francis. Francis likes to go drinking and do the marijuana thing because he thinks it's good for himself. He says, "Hey, Cam, you want to go out with me Friday night?" I says, "Where are you going?" If he says, "You want to go watch a ball game?" I might want to do that. I don't know. I have to wait it out. He says, "No, I'm going to go to Korea Mocha Street and we're going to go bar hopping. It's a lot of fun over there. You know, it's a payday weekend. Let's go have some fun. This is Friday. We work 80 hours a week. Let's go have some fun." I say, now working with him, co-worker, I can choose, can't I? I work with that guy, but I don't have to do what he does. I don't have to fellowship with him. I say, no, I got to go home. Oh, come on. I don't want to go. I don't want to say I don't want to fellowship with you, but I'm going to say I don't want to fellowship with you because I don't want to do what you're doing. So you go by yourself if you want to. I'll see you Monday, maybe, if you recover. See, so that's an idea about not fellowshipping the unfruitful works of darkness. But also look at this, what he says in verse number 11. Having a fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, that's number one. Number two, but rather reprove them. So speak out against it. And that, on that you have to be careful too. You cannot just be a John the Baptist to everybody, all right? Be careful about that. But it does say that, but be cautious about how you apply that to your personal relationship with people. Okay, so fellowship, sometimes you don't want to fellowship with certain people because they are evil. Now come to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, another verse on that about what to avoid. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So it's not just fellowshipping with anybody and everyone. It's a spiritual fellowship that you want to develop. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is along the lines of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked. Do you see an image in your mind? Being yoked together, two animals, to pull a plow. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The image is very, very plain. You have a horse, you have a donkey, you have a cow, you have a lamb, a sheep, you have an elephant. You cannot yoke unkind things together to do one thing. It just doesn't work. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So now it's talking about a spiritual relationship here. Don't fellowship. Don't yoke up with someone who's not of the same faith. For what fellowship? Our soul. Hath righteousness with unrighteousness. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Now, where is the Lord spiritually? Where is the Lord spiritually? Where is the Holy Spirit spiritually? Where is he? Well, he's in the believer. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we sometimes think wrongly that I'm going to go to church, or I'm going to go to the temple, and I'm going to meet God there. And it's kind of odd to me how a place of worship where God is not, they do all these things to make it appear to the senses that God is there. We burn incense, we have dark lights, we have the shh, because God is in this holy temple, and we have this atmosphere of holiness, God is there, and you have people up in the front, men look like they have robes and they are so, and all of these things to indicate that God is here. Kids cannot burp, kids cannot make noise. You cannot even whisper and talk, shh, because God is here. That's not how it's supposed to be. God is in you.
Right.
So the good thing is wherever you are, the Lord is. See? And so he says your body's the temple, and he says there's no fellowship, there's no concord, there's no relationship, there's no compatibility, there's no agreement with the temple of God and idols. You're the temple of the living God, verse 16. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I receive you. Now, all this is about not fellowshipping with things that will drag you down spiritually and break fellowship between you and your God. This is not something that you're going to be legalistic about and say, okay, I'm going to be separate from the world. I will dress differently to the degree where I'm always wearing a suit and tie. And all of this is kind of regional and cultural as well. But this is not about just the outward appearance of things. This is about an inward spiritual relationship between you and the Lord and your fellowship with Him. And you abstain from some things because they're wrong. They're not going to enhance your spiritual walk with the Lord. You stay away from some things. Stay from some people. Can I tell you that there are some people in this world that want to pull you down? Or do you think everybody's in favor of you being a good Christian? Oh, Joan, you're such a... I want you to be a better Christian. Oh, let me have fellowship just to make you be a better Christian. Well, the world doesn't really think that way. Carmen, you know, I know you want to be a good Christian. I want to fellowship with you to help you be a better Christian. So let's go have some pot. Let's go do some drinking. Let's go do some dancing. Let's go do some things so that we... That's not how they think. All the things that the world does generally is to reduce your spirituality. And again, there's a caution here because you are living in this world. You have to deal with people in this world. But the Bible does talk about we are to be kept from the evil of this world and not be of this world. So that's a very doable thing. Separation is more than just men having short hair. How many of you remember back a few decades ago where the most important thing about your separation was the length of your hair? Remember that, Francis? And the length of your skirt and all these things? Well, some of the things was good, but then I think they went a little bit too far to make your separation from the world and your relationship with the Lord, your fellowship with Him, was all about outward appearance. No, it's not. It's more than that. It's the inward, it's the heart, and it's fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, the fellowship that we have here then is a spiritual one in 1 John. And I want you to come to chapter 1 again in 1 John, verse number 5. Sometimes I feel like I want to go ice skating down to the rink over in town, well, we are in town, by the stadium mall. We did a couple times, church activities, and then it was fun if you don't fall. You know, when you fall on ice, it's really hard, like concrete. It can break your arm. I had one of our guys years ago, he was a coach at the high school, and he fell, he broke his collarbone. To me, it was ironic. Football coach, athletic, balanced, fell. Broke his collarbone, Casey Boyette. And it really was a sight to see. And but you know, what kind of discouraged us from having activities there was because of the music that was there. The music, of course, was not Christian, unless you rent out the whole place and put in your own CDs or music. But the music itself was not really conducive for kids to have a good time, because a lot of the lyrics and the way the things are produced, it's just very carnal, very worldly. Now, it's up to you what you do, but some fun things are not worth doing because of the residual, the byproduct of the influence that it has on kids and on people. Sometimes, I mean, I don't talk about being paranoid, but sometimes just a lyric, a line, or something causes some good kid to actually get curious about certain things and so on. Oh, I'm just saying, you have to be cautious. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, the fellowship then with God is spiritual because it is with us, with the Father, and with His Son. And that's a good fellowship to work on, to enhance. Now, what really matters between with a Christian is right here. That's what really matters. That. It's not the exterior. You can be a Pharisee and get everything just right. Tie your shoelaces just right. Have the buttons on the right place. Your collar just starts just right. Everything just right. The hair, everything just right. He looks so spiritual, but that's not really the important part. The important part is right there. And you have a fellowship with the Lord, everything takes place in His right order. It's, to me, it's this. This is the newest triangle, okay? This newest triangle, or this triangle, to me, reminds me, when I talk about 1 John 1, it reminds me about how our fellowship should be based upon something spiritual and not something external. External things are okay, but it's not the best thing, but it's okay. All right? We fellowship around food, okay, that's great. But there's got to be something else besides just the food. It has to be something spiritual. John says, my fellowship is with the Father and the Son and with us. So you want to, he said, he invited people to come fellowship with them as well. Now, but this thing here is about how it should be. So this is, I'll just use this again. This is the guy and this is the gal, G and G. So maybe I should just the man and the woman. There are still distinctions, by the way, of man and woman. And this is the Lord. And this little diagram is still good. If the man wants to have good fellowship, he has a relationship with the Lord. He knows the Lord. She and he knows the Lord. If they want to have a good fellowship between each other, he has to go in this direction. And if she wants to have a good fellowship with the Lord, she's going to go in that direction. And of course, the obvious thing is, what happens to the distance between these two people as they go in that right direct, same direction? So 10 inches turns out to be almost nothing. So their fellowship becomes better when their fellowship with the Lord increases. And that's how that works out all the time. It always will work that way. So again, that husband-wife relationship thing, they have a relationship, but if one of them is going this way, the other's going this way, the twain should never meet. But if they're both in the same direction, their relationship is already established. Their fellowship, it gets better and better and better. And pretty soon, it's just like, they're just one in everything. You ever see people who've married a long time? Not only do they seem to look alike and walk alike and talk alike, they think alike. This is kind of spooky. Because you know what the other person's thinking. Only because if you have a fellowship you've developed over the years and decades, and you just know what they think. And that's good. And in this 1 John chapter, fellowship is with the Father and the Son and the Lord. And this is something that is healthy. Every one of us should work on our fellowship with the Lord. Now, I want you to come to a verse here that says that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 9. So far, it appears I only emphasize human relationships, Christians' relationships with each other and fellowshipping. But I did say about fellowship with the Lord. And here's a good verse to tell us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse number 9. God is faithful. Amen to that. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. If you just take that part, the fellowship of his Son, I'm going to say to you, based on that phrase, your most important fellowship is with the Son of God. Amen. You have to work on that fellowship. You, sir, you, ma'am, you, boy, you, girl, you, Christians, you have that. But you need to work on that. And that has to be the important thing now in your life, since you have that established. Okay? You have to work on your fellowship with him. So you take a step to do that. Being in the Word, being in prayer, being faithful to the Lord in known responsibilities, and that's how you stay in fellowship with him. Now, sometimes fellowship in the Lord can be very hairy. Philippians chapter 3. Look at this hairy verse. I say hairy in a sense it's uncomfortable. American Christians seem to think that if you have a good fellowship with the Lord, that everything is going to be pretty much on my terms, my way. I'll get what I want. I pray for something happens. Maybe it's not always like that, though you be in fellowship with the Son of God. Philippians chapter 3. And let's come down to verse number 5. Philippians 3, beginning at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Well, isn't that what a servant does? A servant puts aside all of his rights and he serves his master, his Lord. Whatever the master wishes, when the old English pull the bell, pull the rope and the bell, and then the servants on the ground floor come running up, and all those bells have little indicate what room is coming from what floor. They come running up, you know, and they do exactly what the master of the household wants. That's a servant, and that person has no rights. That person just does what he's told to do. That's his employment. Verse number 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Now, that's the scripture that we look to, Philippians 2, about humility. Now, and how he subjected himself. Now look at chapter 3 and verse number 10. 3 verse 10. Paul again says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes, fellowshipping with the Son of God means you go through what he went through, except for the crucifixion, obviously. But you go through what Christian goes through, like Christ suffered and was persecuted and so on. Sometimes fellowship with the Lord involves that. So it's not always so comfortable sometimes having fellowship with the Lord. But it does come like that. So a Christian who's growing, who's maturing, who is in fellowship with the Lord, he understands that can happen to him. So the prayers for healing, the prayers for deliverance, the prayers for doesn't come sometimes. It doesn't mean you could be wrong. It just means that you have to perhaps enter into his sufferings as well. Now, the Lord did pray about the cup, not my will but thine be done. Well, he didn't get what he wanted, but he got what the will of the Father was for him to take place. And so fellowship is an important part of the Christian life. And I encourage you guys, and guys meaning girls, but and I hate to use the word guys, but I encourage you as Christians to make time to fellowship with one another. Maybe not always in a group setting, but fellowship in some way so that you have mutual encouragement. Right? Mutual encouragement. And let's say what happened. Let me finish here. 1 John chapter 1. God is light. God is light. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So there has to be some kind of cleanliness to our walk if we are to fellowship with one another and with the Son of God. Verse number 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Here comes that word, sin, and how sin can be the blockage that keeps Christians from fellowshipping with the Son as he should. Sin. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay, so that is a hindrance to good fellowship with the Lord. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, here's the solution. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, so those little things that bother you, the sinful things, that's what keeps you from having good fellowship with the Lord and with other people. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So to restore fellowship that has been broken, it is by confession and by claiming the blood of Christ to wash you clean. And so, again, as we finish up for today, we've had that. We have that. That's the most important thing to have. You've got to have that before you can have that. And now that you're on this side of it, of fellowshipping with him, now that you are hopefully wanting to be more in that direction in your walk with the Lord, you have to remember, it's a spiritual relationship, and this thing is what messes up the machinery and messes up your going in the right direction. So you have to be very alert to that, and be quick to confess, be quick to repent of sins, be quick to restore fellowship. So fellowship, remember, always comes after that has been established. And like with people, like with friends, like with a church, like with husband and wife, that is easily broken. It's easily broken, but it's also easily restored. When I was doing summer work a long time ago as a senior high school for Theo H. Davis locally in town, it was a carpet in the tile kind of thing company, and the foreman of the job crew, he always did this. Some things you never forget, no matter what they were. He says, time for break, which we all look forward to. Work for an hour and a half in the hot sun. He would do this. Okay, everybody. We just do that. That indicated a break. And then we work for an hour and a half like animals, like dogs, and then he's okay. They said, hey, break, break. Now, when we break fellowship with God, I don't want to say it's easy as, okay, time to go back to work. But when it's broken, it's not broken forever. It can be repaired.
Amen.
By confession. Amen. Confession means I agree with God that I am the one in the wrong. And I'll just end with this practical thought. You know why some people never get into good fellowship with each other? Because they have broken fellowship, and I'll just say because of the sin that the person has been involved in, and this person never missed it. It's him. This person blames everybody else but him. Well, the result is the fellowship's been broken, and until somebody actually confesses, it might still be broken for a long time. Okay? So, the word here is fellowship. Four times in 2-3 verses, which is to indicate to us we need to have the right kind of fellowship. Okay? Any questions? Are y'all smart now? I'm so glad you are.